You're listening to SBS News.
We're flying over Sydney and he said to me, "Have a go at flying it, Jean." I said, "I can't fly an aeroplane." He said, "Don't tell anyone, Jean, it's really easy." So with instruction from him, I start flying the aircraft around. From then on, I was hooked.
Straighten up and fly right. Cool down, Papa, don't you blow your top.
It was absolutely magical. I thought you looked down and looked on the world and no, it was good. So anyway, he started to teach me to fly.
It was the 1940s and Jean McPhee, just a teenager, went on her first plane trip with a work colleague.
Our squadron leader, Jim Marks, came back to work. Now, he was always asking all the men in the factory to go flying with him because you must fly to keep your pilot's licence. Well, none of the men had money to pay for flying, but he never, ever asked me. I was the only girl. One day I plucked up courage and said, "Mr. Marks, would you take me flying?" He looked at me and said, "You pay for the aeroplane." I said, "I'll pay for the aeroplane." He said, "Be at Mascot at 7 a.m. and I'll take you flying." So I managed to get out there at 7 a.m. and he took me flying. It was wonderful.
From then on, any spare cash and time she had went into flying. She was determined to get her private pilot's licence.
This is my actual pilot's licence, and when I received that, it was one of the great thrills of my life.
Today, women still remain underrepresented in all aspects of aviation. Globally, only around 5% of commercial pilots are female, with similar rates seen in Australia. And the figure for those with private licences isn't much higher. But back then, Jean remained unaffected by the attitudes of those around her.
They were quite surprised, to tell you the honest truth, but, you know, one of those things, isn't it? I'm afraid my husband's family were not impressed. They imagined, you know, Lindsay would marry somebody that stayed at home and, you know, but that wasn't to be. You got a job normally in an office, doing just office work perhaps, and then basically you got married. And you didn't work. You know, you stayed at home and looked after your husband and children. So that was basically your expectation.
Leaving school at 14, Jean went to secretarial college, but she decided early on the work wasn't for her.
I thought, this is not what I want to do with the rest of my life, so I changed and went into accounting.
The Tiger Box, a plane which has lived through half the life of aviation. But now the Civil Aviation Department has decided that the moths are too old for work like crop dusting and must give it up.
The first plane Jean flew was the Tiger Moth, and eventually she became known by the nickname Tiger Moth Jean.
Just how many Air Force pilots were trained in these planes, probably no one will ever know.
An open tandem cockpit biplane, it was constructed from steel tubing and covered in a combination of fabric and thin plywood. Now highly valued by collectors, it was also used for training by the Royal Australian Air Force.
The Moth was really never designed at all, and no design drawings exist. But since it was born in 1932, more than 9,000 Moths have been produced throughout the world.
Could do aerobatics, it was very well done. And to get your pilot's license in those days, you had to do what was called spinning. You would have to get a fair height and then put the plane into a spin and then pull out of it. And that was a requirement to get your license in those days. I don't believe you do it these days at all. Most of the pilots today only learn on simulators.
Flying alone for the first time was a thrill.
Absolutely wonderful. I cannot describe the elation and the feeling that, you know, you're sitting up there and looking down on the world. It was wonderful.
Her first passenger after getting her licence was the man who eventually became her husband.
From then on, I could take passengers. Lindsay was my first passenger, and I took all my friends flying and all that. But then Lindsay and I were getting serious, and Lindsay said, well, you know, he asked me to marry him, but he said, you'll have to give up flying. Everybody said to me, why did Lindsay say you would have to give up flying? I said, well, a very good reason. Lindsay earned £5 a week, and I paid £6 an hour to fly. I mean, I had done everything that I could do as a private pilot, and no hope of becoming commercial.
Jean says she has no regrets.
You know, it was a very expensive hobby. And I say, if Jim hadn't have probably come to work, Jim Marks, the squadron leader, I would probably have never got into it. But that's life, isn't it?
While the cost of flying made continuing difficult, Jean's love of all things aviation didn't end there. She maintained an interest her whole life, becoming one of the first members of the Australian Women's Pilots Association, attending conferences and sometimes travelling in planes owned by others.
It was a time of big, big development for women to get into flying because, you know, the men didn't want women in the cockpit and... You know, so it was a hard going for a lot of them.
Nancy Bird Walton, the youngest woman in the British Commonwealth to gain a commercial licence, had established the association.
People said that no one would fly with a woman, but they did.
Nancy helped set up a remote air ambulance service based in Bourke in New South Wales, and she began flying for the Royal Far West Children's Health Scheme, among other achievements. The Australian Museum website notes she was remarkable in an era when women were discouraged from wearing pants, let alone flying planes. Nancy and Jean became firm friends.
She was a wonderful, wonderful person, and that she was very lucky too, because when she was very young, they wanted aviation to be made. You know, women were doing it, and so Shell sponsored Nancy and took her overseas to publicise that women were flying and flying was safe. So she was a role model to all of us.
Later on, Jean, along with Nancy Bird Walton, Glenda Philpott and other female pilots, helped set up an organisation to help people overcome their fear of flying. The course still exists today.
With a graduation flight to Melbourne and back on a scheduled 747, all the graduates, where there would be probably 20 on the course, were all individually invited to the cockpit to see the captains flying the plane, and they were very relaxed. But the good part about it was we would then give scholarships to young people, didn't matter women or men, wanting to finally get commercial licences but couldn't afford it. And we would help them with the money that we were raising from that.
A feature article about the fear of flying group also appeared in a 1984 issue of Playboy magazine, without any sexy pictures, Jean insists. The issue forms part of a collection of certificates and photographs that Jean has kept over the years. At 93, Jean says if she could go back in time, she knows what she would do.
Do it again. Definitely. It opened doors that you never think will be open to you. And it's wonderful. You've got friends all around the world.
Peggy Giacomelos, SBS News.
Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and stay right. Straighten up and fly right. Cool down, Papa, don't you blow your top.